think about those wise words for a minute. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. When I first became a Christian, I remember, I think it was probably within a month or so, I was driving my car, and as I came across the roundabout, I didn't notice another car coming, and I nearly went into the side of him. And all of a sudden, this giant of a bloke got out of his car, and he had tattooed on his forehead, "I'm going to chin you." I mean, he didn't literally have it tattooed, but he had it written all over his face, "I'm going to chin you." And he got out of his car, and he walked towards me. Now, you wouldn't believe this because you probably see me, hopefully, as a gentle chappy. But in the past, unfortunately, the way I was raised is I used to be a bit of a naughty lad. I used to fight a lot. I was a different type of fella. I was taught out of box and all sorts, and I'd be very aggressive. And the way I was taught is you fight aggression with more aggression. You know, in other words, you call someone's bluff. So it's wrong, and this is an ungodly thing, but if someone gives it like that, and then you give it like a, "Yeah, come on in." And then more and often than not, and you would have seen this in prison and in the kind of situations you work in, you call someone's bluff. Like, you're really up for it, you know. But probably because of the size of this bloke, and also that I literally, the Lord was changing my heart. It was amazing. I put my window down and I went, "Listen, fella," I said, "I'm really sorry. I said, I have a really bad day. I said, I can't begin to tell you. It's just been a nightmare." And he went, "Oh." He didn't know what to do. And he went, "Sorry, mate. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no worries. Have a nice day." And I thought, what did I just do? I completely disarmed him with a gentle answer. I did what was contrary to what I'd been taught. I mean, it wouldn't have done me any favours. To this day, I'd probably be like this, where he bopped me and not sure they would be able to correct it. You'd have a pastor who looks like this. And Solana calls me T-Rex anyway with my short arms. But yeah, she calls me T-Rex, so I can't reach anything. You see me at table tennis, and if the ball's at the net, isn't it right, Pat? I go like this, whoa, I can't quite reach. But it was an interesting lesson for me, because I thought, wow, why did I feel so calm? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It goes to that, you know, it's like those sayings where, you know, you hear this conversation between a man and a woman. And, you know, if a lady says to you, "Yeah, we'll do whatever you want." And if the man says, "Okay, thanks." The lady will say, "No, I didn't mean do whatever you want. I meant the opposite." And often, mixed messages, you know, "Ladies, we don't think like you. We don't think like you. We don't always understand your mixed messages and your funny signals." True spirituality is forged in the messy, sometimes neat, but often painful, sometimes joyful arena of life. We never stop learning. We are never too old to learn. Sometimes we may be in the right, but how we're able to teach someone in that situation is a different kettle of fish. You may feel justified in saying what you are saying, but how you say it is a different kettle of fish entirely. The Vauxhall Nova car. Who remembers the Vauxhall Nova? Do you remember? Yeah. Did you know it sold very poorly in Spanish-speaking countries? And do you want to know why it sold? Do you know the answer?
It's Spanish.
Yeah. The word Nova means does not go. Nova means does not go. An ill-timed, poorly thought name for a Spanish car doesn't go. Can you imagine having a badge on the back of your motor? You've saved all this money to buy yourself a car. What's the car you're buying? Why don't you choose this one? It doesn't go. One of the best ways that we can communicate the gospel is through friendship. But let me tell you this, friendship evangelism is not necessarily a biblical thing at all. Just because you love the Lord and just because you live a certain way doesn't mean that people are going to look at you and say, oh, I see that you've got a certain peace, or I see that you managed to cope with difficult circumstances, therefore I'm going to follow your Jesus. I mean, if only life were that simple, but it's not. Life isn't that simple. I was thinking of a phrase for a sign outside church. I know hopefully we'll have our banners up soon. I don't know if you've had a quote yet. We're just waiting for a quote and then we'll have the new banners up. But I thought of a message. You may not think much of us, but we think a lot of you. You may not care much for us, but we really care for you. What message do we communicate as Christians to the people around us? What message do we communicate as a church to those outside of us? Just like the man who just popped in a minute ago. Would he like to come and join us in a service? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can offer a warm invitation, a friendly smile, but we cannot persuade people. The Bible actually says it's the gospel, it's the good news, it's the word of God that changes the heart of a person. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 23, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So I can win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. I do this so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. Amazingly, sorry, the children should have gone to Sunday school. I forgot that bit. Forgot to communicate that, sorry. I want to challenge you this morning. Do you know it's your job to share the gospel? Oh, I feel a bit uncomfortable about that. I mean, I don't mind going to church and I don't mind listening to a sermon. And yes, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. But sharing the good news of Christ with someone, that I feel a bit uncomfortable with that. Well, the Bible says that we should make disciples of all nations. It's a challenge, but it's something that you and I must aspire to. We haven't all got the gift of an evangelist. We haven't all got the gift of a teacher, but we all have the gift of speech. We all have the ability at different times in our lives to communicate our faith. Why we go to church, why we believe a certain thing. Have you ever heard the saying, you can teach a turkey to climb a tree, but it's cheaper to hire a squirrel? You can teach a turkey to climb a tree, but it's cheaper to hire a squirrel. In religious life, what people do is they hire a vicar. Or, if the church has enough funds, it hires an evangelist as well. What it does, you see, it puts people in what they call in a professional role. So it's the pastor who does these things, or it's the evangelist, or some churches are large enough, they have teachers as well. That their specific gift is teaching. Solana and I worked in a church in Miami for a month, and they had 10,000 people attending each week, or something ridiculous, huge. They had 10 pastors. And they were all responsible for different areas. But the danger is, when you hire professionals to do the job, and there is a certain job that needs doing, pastoral work, The Bible's clear about that. There are apostles, pastor, teachers, prophets, evangelists. But that doesn't remove the responsibility from you or I to share the good news. Because I can't reach your neighbour. You can. You can't say, I cannot do it, if the Lord says you can. Look at the story of Moses. Everything suggests that Moses had a stutter. And it must have been bad enough for Moses to say, God, don't send me to Pharaoh because I can't really, you know. And he had a bad stutter. And God said, no, I've asked you to do it, but I will help you. You can go with your brother Aaron. Quite often, we can feel like that turkey trying to climb a tree. But if God tells you you're a squirrel, you're a squirrel. If he asks us to do something, he'll give us the tools and the means to do it. We have family members that we love and care for. We have to, in the right opportunity, at the right time, with the right words, share why we believe. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, I would desire that people communicate with me clearly. If I had a pound for every time that I've been misunderstood in my life, I'd probably have about £330. I wish I didn't always misunderstand people, and sometimes I wish they didn't always misunderstand me. So I have to learn how to communicate. But the good thing with the Bible is the gospel's simple. It's simple. I want to read to you something that I wrote as a devotional. In fact, no, I can't because Solana's got my phone. In fact, I want to, Lee, could you ask Solana for my phone? And I'll bring this back in a minute. There's a reason why I'm going to read this to you in a minute. The question is this morning to you, do you want to be a good communicator? How about in your marriage or your friendships? Do you want to learn how to be a good communicator? The Bible says that we have to be a good listener. What's the saying? God has given us two ears, but just one mouth. It's not normally that I open Facebook during a sermon, but I want to read you something that I wrote as a devotion this morning. Because I've just said to you about how simple the gospel is. And I want to read you a simple gospel. Just wait till I get a signal. I'll come back to that. You remember Johnny Carson? The late Johnny Carson. He said this, if love is a dream, marriage is the alarm clock. If marriages are made in heaven, so is thunder and lightning. It's incredible how many people that I've met who have very poor communication skills and they just don't know it. They don't know it. They think that they can communicate because they can open their mouths or they can formulate a sentence. But if you want to know how to communicate, look at Jesus, the master communicator. He was able to speak the truth, and yet at the same time, he was able to speak in a way that was compassionate, but he didn't pull his punches either. Have you ever heard someone say, we're growing apart from each other? What they have not said is, we don't know how to communicate anymore. Years ago, I think one or two of you, I've shared this story, I think I've shared it with Gaynor. A lady came to me for counselling who had a terrible marriage problem. And she said, I'm going to give it 1 month and then I'm off. I can't cope with it anymore. She said, it's so bad, I can't even bear when he gets into bed with me. I pretend I'm asleep. She said, even if he touches my shoulder, I can't stand it. She'd allowed her heart to become so hardened and she felt so indifferent to her husband. And I challenged her and I said, you know, first and foremost, I was quite strong with her actually. I said, he's still your husband, number one. I said, and number two, I'm going to dare you to do something. I said, love is love, whether someone deserves it or not. I said, when he comes home from work and he's in his dirty overalls from working on site, I said, what I want you to do, I challenge you, is tell him that you've got a bath ready for him. She said, what? I said, you've got a bath ready for him. I said, not just that. I said, put some candles in there. Not in the bath, I mean in the bathroom. Don't try that one. She said, right. I said, and also, I said, maybe a small glass of wine or something. She's probably thinking, this guy's off his trolley. I said, and when he's in the bath, I said, I dare you to wash his hair for him. At any point, I'm thinking that she's just, you know, time up, you know, I've got to go. Anyway, I didn't see her for 2 weeks. So I thought, yeah, that went well. And the third week she came to me, she said, Simon, you're not going to believe what's happened. I said, what? She said, I did as you said. I went, you didn't, did you? She said, I did what you said. Well, of course, I'm all ears at this point. I thought, what on earth happened? She said, he walked in the door, he kicked his dirty boots off, and she said, I've run a bath for you. And he looked at me as if I was an alien. Right. And she said, if you get in the bath, I'll bring you a drink up, she said. So he's got in the bath. This has never happened to him in his life. And then he walks in and there's all smelly candles everywhere. And he's a bloke's bloke. He don't do smelly candles. And then he's in the bath and she said to him, would you like me to wash your hair? I mean, blokes, we wash our hair, but we do it in the shower. I mean, you know, we don't really look after our hair like ladies do, but yeah. So he said, all right then. As she started to wash his hair, he burst out crying. Sobbing. And he said, I don't deserve this, do I? And do you know what? That was a turning point of their marriage. You see, she had to do something that they both felt was undeserved. But she was willing to demonstrate a love. She communicated love in a way that had such value and meaning that it broke him. And he was not the sort of bloke, from what I gather, to break down and cry. And he sobbed. She'd finally learnt the art of communication. But she only learnt it because she loved him. Or she was willing to love him, should I say. She didn't love him in here. It had gone. We seem to think that if something's gone from here, that it's gone for good. It's not true. It's not true. This thing can be relit like a pilot light. But it takes courage and it takes love. And it takes communicating that love in a profound way. Look how many families are destroyed through poor communication. Without going into massive details, you know my family situation with my father at the moment. It seems to be every time I try to do something to help in the background, it's taken another way. And I'm like, losing the will to live with it, you know? So I've had to just wash my hands and stand back for a moment and say, I can't do anything at this moment. But I see the devastation of ill-timed, unkind and hurtful words. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. Matthew 12 verse 36, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. how much pain could be avoided if we learnt to communicate better? What if we simply just said sometimes, sorry, I don't understand you. I don't want to fall out with you. I just don't understand you. What is it you're asking, or what is it you're trying to say? And I know in a marriage that's really important to learn how to communicate, because marriage is a mixed bag of sweets. I mean, I love my wife and I get on with Slana very well. But sometimes I can't pretend to communicate perfectly all the time. I can't always pretend that I understand what Solana is saying, because I'm a fallen human being. This is why I wanted to read. Lee, have you got, or Anna, have you got your phone on you? Have you got Facebook on your phone? See if you can get my Facebook page, because there's a little devotion that I've written. I've got no signal and I want to read it from my phone. It's on my page anyway. Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbour, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. I want to be a good communicator. I don't just mean preaching. I want to try and listen to what you're saying. Has it come up? I've just got no signal, proper signal. Oh, thank you. This is what I wrote this morning. And it's interesting that a few folk who are not Christians, one lady in particular who's not a Christian, clicked love on it. And it's a gospel message. I've put this: we are beautiful, but broken. We are made in the image of God, but we are fallen. Our sin and indifference to God has placed a huge barrier between us and a holy God. We all need a cure for our sinful condition. The blood of Christ is the answer, a divine transfusion for the soul. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No wonder that Jesus told his followers to preach the good news and be reconciled to God. Our divorce doesn't need to be permanent. Repent. We are loved. This beautiful song sums up my feelings. I hope you enjoy it. I've tried to encapsulate what I think the gospel is in a really simple way that says to people, you're valued and you're loved, but you're broken. We're broken. We need fixing. It's interesting that I wondered, after I put a post like that, how many friends, you know, on Facebook, it tells you how many friends you've got on Facebook. I thought, I never ever pay attention to that, but I thought I'd be curious and see if I've still got the same number of Facebook friends after something like that. You see, I am keen and eager to communicate what I believe and why I believe it. But I try to do it in a manner that values people and loves them, but at the same time is not afraid to tell the truth. You and I have to try and do the same. Is it another story, you know, with Vauxhall and the Nova? Coca-Cola had the same problem. I don't know if you know this, that when they first shipped to China, they named the product something that when pronounced, it sounded like Coca-Cola. The only problem was that the characters used meant bite the wax tadpole. That's what their drink said, bite the wax tadpole. Later on, they changed it to a set of characters that meant happiness in the mouth. Language is fascinating, isn't it? Different things mean. When Pepsi started marketing its products in China more than a few years ago, they translated their slogan, Pepsi brings you back to life. But the slogan in Chinese literally meant, Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the grave. That's a bit different, isn't it? We must learn to communicate in marriage. We must learn to communicate in our friendships, in our family. It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard. And to give people space when they're trying to communicate and they're angry or they're upset or they're stressed. My sister, if any of you have met my sister, she's absolutely lovely. She's a really lovely person. But I know when my sister's stressed. She's doing her legal law exams at the moment, and you know, the business with my dad, and my sister's going to move in with my mum, so they're going to live together, and there's all the house moving, and there's all kinds of stuff going on at the moment. And my sister's way behind in her studies, and I'm like, oh gosh, I've got to be so careful here. Because from a stress point of view, she's like a ticking time bomb. And I know she doesn't mean it. So whatever she might try to communicate, I've got to give her space to do that. I said to Mark, the deacons, the other day, I was stressed with my family situation. And I said, if for any reason you see me a bit sharp or something comes out the wrong way, please just understand I'm just feeling a little bit on edge. Because also, when you're struggling, it's healthy to say, because you're being accountable to each other, say, you know what, I'm struggling a bit because I'm a human being. I might be a pastor, but if I model that, I can teach you the same. If you're going through something, you can come and say to me, you know what, Simon, I'm really struggling at the moment, or I'm upset about this, or I won't think any less of you at all. I just think you're just like me. And finally, there'll be a prize for someone who can find a different word other than finally or in conclusion. Look at the ways that Jesus was misunderstood. How can he be the Messiah from Nazareth out in the sticks? Isn't he just a carpenter's son? His neighbours thought Jesus mad to the point that they tried to throw him off a hill. Some of his own family thought him crazy. His own brothers knew that people wanted Jesus dead, so they encouraged him to publicly reveal himself to Israel. They knew that that meant he would be ridiculed or even murdered. He was misunderstood by Herod, who thought that the baby Jesus was a threat to his kingdom, so he ordered every child under the age of 2 to be murdered. He was misunderstood by the Pharisees, claiming that he was a lawbreaker and a blasphemer. Jesus was misunderstood by his disciples. And he said to them, who do you say I am? He was misunderstood by the crowd who were so fickle. One minute they cried, Hosanna, and some of them the next minute cried out, crucify him. Jesus was misunderstood by those who said his teaching was too hard and they walked away. That's an interesting one. Jesus was misunderstood by those who said, this teaching is too hard, who can understand it? And they left him. Crowds of people left him. And Jesus turned to his own disciples, who were a small number, and he said to them, do you want to leave me too? How Jesus must have felt. Do you want to leave me as well? It's Peter who said, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. That must have been like, yes. All who come to me, I will receive. I would imagine that there are churches up and down the country where if the Bible was really taught as it should be, some of those churches would shrink. Some of those churches would shrink. Because what people would say is, we ain't putting up with that. That's a bit judgmental. Bit too much of the Bible, this fella. All of a sudden, you can bet your bottom dollar. And I know this because my cousin is a Methodist minister. And I'm not saying all Methodist churches are wrong. But some of them are not where they should be. And the stories you hear, you know, when you're in Methodism, I'm not sure about Church of England, but sometimes they're given 3 or 4 churches to look after. And they have, you know, they have to somehow try and do a magician's act for all of them. And they're all completely different. Some places charismatic and they love that kind of teaching, that kind of input. Some places are so incredibly traditional that their main focus for that church might be the flower festival that year. You know, it's just a little community, but they're not really into Jesus. I mean, they don't mind sort of giving Jesus the rubber stamp on the door. But that doesn't mean they're Christians. And that's a shocking thing. Up and down the country now, and I'm not judging them, but I wonder how many people who sit in church are actually followers of Jesus. And that's a challenge for us. Are you and I truly a follower of Jesus Christ? Years ago, I had a friend, well, I still have a friend called Peter. We used to call him Pete the Prophet because he always had a, you know, like the old prophets. He was always as blunt as you could possibly imagine. Scott guy, you know what I mean. Quite a strong character. And he said to me, he said, when they give me a church, he said, I'll probably empty it, he said, like that. I said, but Pete, that's not the idea of it, is it? He was like the disciples who said, you know, Lord, should we pray for fire to descend on this village? This is a bit of a tricky message this morning because the topic of communication is so broad. But I just wanted to leave some thoughts with you this morning that reflect my heart as a pastor, but also challenge you to think about your relationships with your children or your wife or your work colleagues. How well do you communicate? How well do you listen? Do you give people space? Solana, I can't say now because obviously it's being recorded, but there was a time in the past where Solana had a relationship, a working relationship with a teacher in her school, and this particular person was a real handful. I mean, a real handful. You couldn't tell them anything. They knew it all. Doesn't matter how long they've been teaching, it could have been 5 minutes, they knew it all. And I said to Solana, I said, I bet this person is using it in a real defensive mechanism because they don't feel valued in their job. And Solana said, well, they're rushing like a bull in a china shop, you know, wallop, wallop, wallop. And I said, let's try a different tactic with them. And that very day, Solana came back and said, oh my goodness, I tried your tactic or what we discussed. And what a difference. We are complex human beings and we need to be wise if we want to grow our relationships. There's a saying in the Proverbs, he who wins souls is wise. We need wisdom. We're supposed to get wiser as we grow older. It doesn't come with grey hair. I've tried it. Wisdom comes when we seek the source of wisdom. And we're willing to learn. Amen?